Hello out there. Welcome to your next mission video podcast. Today we're going to talk about something that we've addressed a number of times on this show and something that every member of the military needs to think about, even if you might be years away, and that's transition. Someday you'll move into the civilian world, and what are the biggest challenges? How do you prepare? And how soon do you need to get started? The answer may surprise you. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors, past and present, your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Before we get started, I personally want to thank our presented sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback. An additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield, FAP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield, FAP Vision, and USAA. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and as I always say, we love them too. Today, we're going to be talking about transition with retired Navy Fleet Master Chief Paul Kingsbury, who is a Director of Uniformed Services Relationship for Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jack. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Paul, and I appreciate all that you're doing. Before we jump into our discussion, though, I personally want to thank you for being a sponsor, you know, for your next mission. We're very grateful for all your support.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure.
Again, before we get started, would you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Just condensed version. So retired Navy, like you said, Fleet Master Chief. Before I got into that command senior enlisted role, I was in the Navy Nuclear Power Program. I enlisted when I was 17 out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So, you know, a lot of time on aircraft carriers and around the world. And then once I retired from the military, I had been doing some writing with the U.S. Naval Institute and some work with them. Ended up landing a position with U.S. Naval Institute doing outreach for them. And then fortunately, you know, after a few years, new opportunities, as we know, come. And this opportunity to work as the Director of Uniformed Service Relations came a couple of years, almost just about 2 years ago now. So that's what I do now. And, you know, I'm down here in Carrollton, Virginia. My wife and I, I've got four kids. I got three stepboys and two corgis. So we're loving our retirement life and the work I'm doing with Blue Cross Blue Shield.
You sound like you're real motivated with all you're doing right now, and everything's probably going pretty good, I guess, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes I wonder if, did I want to work this much? But I think you realize that, right? There's a lot of energy. There's a lot to do. And there's a lot of ways to give back to the military community once you retire in new ways, which is exciting. And I'm still doing a little bit of writing with the Naval Institute. You know, I just finished up the manuscript for the third edition of the Chief Petty Officer's Guide. So I think my plate's about right where it needs to be.
Yeah, there you go. Paul, you know, we talk a lot about transition on the show. What do you think are the most important things that you deal with when the times come to, you know, prepare for leaving military life? What's the most important things?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing I would offer is the knowledge and the resources that are out there, you know, are so much more than 10, 15, 20 years ago. There's a lot that we've learned. There's a lot of organizations such as yours, private sectors come behind it there. So I think the first thing people got to realize is this is a management problem, really, right? You've got to plan it. You got to organize your time and your resources. And then you've got to work through systematically through several lines of effort. And then get feedback along the way. So I think the first thing you got to understand is you've got to have a plan. And again, there are a lot of resources out there. And when I talk about a plan, I think there's several big lines of effort. I mean, obviously we can't dive into them all, but I think the one big thing you got to do is start thinking about what's next. And that's never too early. There are so many opportunities out here in the civilian side. You may be locked in your military career and thinking I'm constrained by a rating or an MOS or a career field. But if you take some time to research what's out there, take some time to think about you and what you could be interested in, what your natural skill sets and abilities are, and how that could translate into new opportunities, I think that that thinking up front is huge. thinking about where you want to live next, thinking about how much you want to work, those kind of things. And then I think you've got to, you know, the second thing I would think about for me on my mind was becoming financially ready. So there's a lot of fiscal uncertainty. You don't know how much your job is going to pay you. You don't know the cost of living or where you could be living. So you got to really put some thought into that. So things like paying down your debt, understanding where you're going to live and any kind of financial incentives that could come with those states, such as, you know, tax-free on your retirement or just, you know, tax-free completely. Those are things you got to think about. You know, start to save and get yourself financially prepared and mentally prepared. And again, talking to people about that is an important way to do it. Another thing you got to start to think about is your family and yourself, your medical preparedness, right? So you've grown up in a military where, hey, TRICARE is there, your dental insurance and everything is there. But that stuff starts to change once you retire. You're going to have to figure out what kind of TRICARE plan do I want that's right for my family. Maybe I go with my civilian provided, you know, insurance. That is an option now. So you start to get these options and you get this freedom of choice that you're not used to, right? Especially in my world, the dental and vision. You got to understand that dental and vision insurance, you know, depending on the, you know, you may pick TRICARE Prime or Select, but dental and vision insurance are separate from that. So you can enroll under a program such as the Federal Dental Vision Insurance Program, FedVIP, but you're going to have to understand there's costs now that come with premiums with dental and vision insurance as well. So there's a whole lot of things that are going on, but I think it comes to really that first step is getting mentally prepared, thinking about things and creating a plan with all the resources that are out there.
I think one of the other things is really, when do you start that process? You know, I always tell people that you start the process at least 2 years out and make sure that you make sure you keep your spouse involved. It sounds like your transition went pretty smoothly, but if you had to do it all over again, what would be something that you may want to do maybe just a little bit differently? Anything?
So I'll touch on that point you made about when it's time. So I think for the big lift, I'm with you about 2 years out, but there's some things that I started encouraging people. And obviously, you know, once I retired, you know, and there's a whole chapter I wrote in the Chief Petty Officer's Guide. That new chapter is so much better than it was before because I had learned so much. But there's some things you can start doing now. There's no reason any active duty service member cannot have a resume written.
Yeah.
Even though you plan to do a career, start to do that now. You've got the resources out there. On the Navy side, we had Fleet and Family Support Centers that do resume writing. So I started drafting up a resume, I mean, probably 8 years before that, just to kind of practice. I had the pleasure to work on a staff with civilians, GS types. So they would help me start to convert that Navy speak into civilian speak. And then obviously getting financially ready, you can always start doing that whenever. So, but I think you're right, about 2 years until you get into the big kind of piece of it. I was fortunate to have the guidance of some really good people. You know, Mick Pond, Rick West was one of them. So one piece of advice that he gave me was, hey, we like to hold on and we don't like to kind of just stop doing our responsibilities until the very end. I was fortunate enough to be able to turn over my position, get my relief in, and then take a good 3 months to really go through that transition process. And I think that's important. One thing that I did do, honestly, you know, it's not just because I'm in that space now, but I think underestimated the transition of medical stuff. So, and not just, you know, the military is going to take care of your whole out processing. You're going to get scheduled for a final medical appointment. They're going to document things. You're going to want to get that done because some of that's going to transfer over into your VA disability process. But, you know, I became aware of late, you know, I didn't know much about FedVIP, you know, that piece. So I was like, all right, FedVIP, yeah, I'll take care of that. But there is a short window for enrolling in that program. And some other opportunities have a short window of where you can enroll. So I almost missed my dental vision, you know, window. Fortunately, it was on my list. And I just said, all right, I'm going to get it. And I just blindly picked an insurer. I didn't really research it. I just went with, you know, it's just dental and vision insurance. So I'll just get this stuff without understanding, like, hey, your provider may be in a network that's not covered by your insurance. Where am I going to go? How do I pick a dentist now? Right. I've been used to my whole career just being told, go down to medical, go down to dental and you know, sit in the chair and whoever's there is there. Again, you get to choose. So I probably went a good year without even going to my first dental, appointment. I didn't use my vision benefits up front. And then finally, I'm like, that sense of structure was eating at me, right? We're used to that kind of discipline structure. So finally, I'm like, I got to put some focused time on just figuring out what I want to do for dental and vision. And then I realized like, okay, I've got to shop around for a provider that actually takes my insurance, right? Not everyone takes all insurance. So that is the one area I would talk about. And then on the TRICARE side, you have options, right? So as a retiree, it's not just go to the local clinic and sign up. If you want, you can go into TRICARE Select and now you're out on the network and you get more flexibility and you don't have to get referrals. So again, a lot of thinking, I think, on the medical readiness side that I had taken for granted.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about Mick Pond, Rick West. How yeah. important is it to have a mentor or a sponsor before you get out of service? I guess you had one, but maybe you have two or three. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you're going to have a whole bunch of them, I think. And I think one thing we're getting better at now, especially with these tools like LinkedIn, is this concept of networking. So I think it's not just, and you don't just network to network, right? You don't just network to connect people and you give as much as you get out of a network. But yes, absolutely. So Rick had recently transitioned. So I think you should have two or three people that you can bounce ideas off of and that can give you advice. There's people can connect you and help you think through and expose you to opportunities on the outside. And then from there you pursue things like informational interviews, right? So these kind of opportunities connect. But mentors are huge. That's one of my recommendations is you definitely connect with people who've been there, done that. They're out there. We're out here. We're willing to give back easily every day. You just got to reach out to us and connect with us. And I think that's even easier to do. There's guys like you on social media. There's guys like Mike Quinn on LinkedIn, guys like Scott Stalker that are offering great insights. So even if it's someone you don't know personally, those guys, you can message them, guaranteed they're going to reach out and offer their guidance and advice. So I can't undervalue and underemphasize the importance of good mentors and, people that help you transition.
Yeah. It's really important. Doesn't matter if it's a general officer or a staff sergeant or a master chief or whatever. There's a lot of great mentors out there to help you out. How important is it to have your spouse involved in the process?
Yeah. So this is crucial. Absolutely important. 100%. You're not just transitioning, you're transitioning your family, right? So there are a lot of things that your spouse gets a cut on, right? When you talk about, SGLI, right? If you're going to waive that, your spouse gets a cut. You can't just waive SGLI. That's just one example. You might be divorced, right? There are legal considerations to consider with your spouse, right? So when, if your spouse X gets a percentage of your retirement, there's administrative things that have to be done to ensure that kind of stuff happens. GI Bill transferability. You may transfer your GI Bill, right? That is something your spouse and your kids are in the mix with. So making medical decisions, right? In the world I'm in now, I do heavy outreach in support of the military spouse community. 100% convinced they are the champion of and the shepherd of military family medical readiness. They are definitely in a better position. They're going to think through better which insurance plan you want, helping you think through the big decisions. Where do we want to live? They're definitely going to be involved in the budgetary considerations and those decisions, or they should be. Because if you don't involve them now, when the surprises happen on the other end, that's not where you want to be. You want to step off on your retirement in a good way. And they are definitely a huge part of the team when you transition out.
Yeah. One of the things too, that really bothers me, and I think we're getting a little bit better. Most people don't know anything about their benefits and entitlements, what they're, what they're required. And I think a military spouse probably knows a lot more about that stuff than we do. I don't know if you find that as the same case or not. But
no, I mean, one thing I've learned now in these outreach positions, especially in my current position, if you want to get stuff done, you look at a military spouse organization.
Yeah.
They get stuff done. I'm telling you, they're not constrained. They're fearless. They network and they share information well, right? And information and resources. So they absolutely are crucial to all this this transition piece and are a huge part of the educational and resourcing piece.
Wow. Hey, Paul, I want to talk about potential stumbling blocks for retirees when it comes to preparing for transition. But there's always a but to everything. But we got to take a quick break, so hold that thought. This is a great discussion. We'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant of the Army. And if you're enjoying this discussion, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Also, click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcasts. I'll be right back after this word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
We're talking with Paul Kingsbury, the Director of Uniformed Service and Relationship at Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. Paul, we talked a lot about transitioning. What about the insurance after the military family?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's several different, you know, I'm going to focus primarily on, you know, dental and vision insurance, but there are several lines of effort that you got to think about, right? So you got life insurance out there. First of all, you know, you've had your military associated life insurance. There is an opportunity to pick up a similar kind of thing, but you've got other options. You can pick up some other kind of policy, a term or life policy. So again, giving thought and researching those kind of things that you're not familiar with. So that's one aspect. I think I already talked a little bit about TRICARE and medical insurance. That's fairly easy to transition through. You just got to make a choice for your family of what do you want? Do you want to stick with going to, you know, with a TRICARE Prime plan, like going to your clinic and being connected into the hospital? Or do you want more selection? Do you want to be able to just go out on the network, go see specific providers without a referral, get a little more flexibility, but there's some cost, the out-of-pocket costs come to it as well. And then finally, like I mentioned, dental and vision insurance are something you're going to have to think about. And those come with they do, regardless of what plan you pick, those are going to come with premium costs, but they also come with benefits, right? So with dental, like I mentioned, you get to choose your dentist. You get that sense of, like we grew up as kids, right, before the military, I knew my dentist. I went to that family dentist forever. I knew that person. They were invested in me. We had a personal relationship, and I was comfortable there. That's a cool thing to have. So, but you got to put thought again into preparing for that. If you're going to move, right, reaching out to people and researching doctors in the network there or dentists or vision insurers that are out there. So I can't underestimate, again, the fact of preparing for your insurance. In some cases, you're going to find, like I found with employers, they might offer some kind of supplemental life insurance policies, accidental death stuff through your company that comes with either no cost or a low cost to get additional insurance. So again, it's just an area that I think most military folks transitioning or retiring have not taken for granted. You know it's there, but you definitely got to give it some thought.
Well, I think most people think TRICARE covers everything, don't they? I mean, they think the TRICARE is going to help you out. Do you find that to be true? I mean, when you come out and start talking about them,
Yeah. So when we do a lot of outreach in the uniform service community, right? We'll set up, you know, in like AUSA or AFA or big events. So we have educational tables at those events. And many times people will walk by and they'll see the big Blue Cross Blue Shield, you know, FEP Dental or FEP Vision signs, and they know the brand, but they're like, okay, I have TRICARE. Or another thing they assume is they have VA insurance, right? Or things are covered through the VA, and there's a lot of nuances there as well. So, but I do have to educate, and our teams educate a lot on, okay, it's not all just TRICARE, right? Dental and vision are separate. They break off. TRICARE covers this, but you got to think about that. So absolutely, I think people just lump it all in as I've got TRICARE or I'm covered by the VA, when in actuality, they may be covered, but not to the extent they don't have comprehensive coverage on dental or vision.
Yeah, one of the things I used to tell people, especially while on active duty, I try to do it. I try to put financial education into our non-commissioned officer education system, but also benefits and entitlements, and let people start learning about those benefits and entitlements before they ever get out of service. What about active duty families and spouses? Are they already covered for dental and vision?
Yeah, so on the dental side, they are, right? So each year, the service member pays for a dental insurance program. Obviously, the service member is covered under their active duty TRICARE, and then the family members are covered through that program. So yes, dental, you're covered until you retire, right? And like I mentioned, right, once you retire, bam, you have to transition with your family under FedVIP or an insurer provided, or a civilian insurer provided one. That is an option, but I think you're going to find it's more costly to do that. Vision, as I came to learn, right? And FedVIP, honestly, is, we talk about that Federal Dental Vision Insurance Program. It's relatively new, and awareness is growing within the military community. So on the dental side, before FedVIP, it used to be called TRICARE Retiree Dental Program, for people that remember that, TRDP. And it was one insurer, did not give a lot of flexibility and options. So FedVIP, again, because there are 12 dental insurers for people to pick from, it gives you a lot of flexibility and options. On the active duty side, and unfortunately I didn't know about this, FedVIP does cover active duty spouses and family members for any service member enrolled in a TRICARE program. So although you can go and get a vision exam on active duty through TRICARE, your glasses aren't covered for your family, contacts aren't covered, right? That comprehensive care is not covered through that. And also you've got to deal with, can you get an appointment and things like that. So for FedVIP does offer you that flexibility. And I think it's important for military families to know that and understand that. These get really expensive, especially if you've got a spouse and a couple kids in glasses. And a lot of times at outreach, we are always hearing like, I just paid $500, $600, $700, $800 out of pocket for glasses that could easily come down at least half that amount, if not more, with having a supplemental insurance program under FedVIP.
Yeah. You know, insurance coverage for all of us, gets really confusing. What are your biggest challenges when it comes to making sure people just know what they're entitled to? I mean, we talked about this a second ago, but most people just don't know what they're entitled to.
Yep. So it's an awareness campaign. So using any kind of tools of reach. So I work with a team, you know, Molly, and you've met Molly, right, on the project education side. So we're looking for digital awareness, and we're looking for in-person awareness and education. So I think that's where it starts, with awareness and education. And then with that, you get advocacy through the community, like I mentioned. So I've heavily invested in, and I work to raise awareness through the military spouse community, because I think I get reached through social media and networking of military spouses. We're starting to use military influencers such as you and others to help spread the word and educate, right? I want to be authentic. Honestly, we are one of the insurers under FedVIP for dental and vision, but if a family gets in there and just chooses any of the insurers, it saves money, and that's, you know, they find the right one for them and their family. To me, that's a win, right? Because you're saving money. So that's what we do. We do a lot of virtual education on venues like this, and then going around looking for in-person opportunities to educate, raise awareness at events and things like that. So I think that will never stop. I wish there was, and I'm going to start to try to shape this a little bit to the level I can. I wish there was a little more, not even a little more. Part of the issue I would offer is there is low DOD leadership awareness of FedVIP too. Again, it's relatively new. They're just like TRICARE, but if you go to your average service senior enlisted leader or your average admiral or general and ask them what FedVIP is, you're going to get, I don't know, right? If I get to my military spouse leaders and ombudsman program and things like that, and I ask what's FedVIP, I don't know. If you go into transition assistance programs, they don't specifically cover FedVIP, right? So I think there's an opportunity for DOD and the services to help educate. I think we have a fundamental responsibility as an insurer to help educate on FedVIP first and raise awareness, but we can't do it alone.
I was going to bring it up anyway, but the worst people, I think, that don't understand a system probably are senior officers and senior non-commissioned officers. for a couple of different reasons. One, usually the senior officer has somebody that's their handler and sort of moving them around and doing everything for them. And really, senior NCO has the same thing too, but they don't, they're focused on what their wartime mission is.
Yeah.
So they're not focused on these kind of things. And because of that, it doesn't flow down to the, you know, to the services, to a younger soldiers or service members within the Navy, Army, Marine Corps, and all the rest of them. Yeah. So that's really usually worse.
Yeah. You and I did this, right? Yeah. There's so much on your plate, right? Yeah. So just day to day. And then, hey, I love the investment in resources in the military community and the transitioning community. There are so many nonprofits out
there.
But there's too many. I think I heard there's like 40 million.
Yeah, I don't know what the number is.
And they're trying to do great work. And I, in this position, I've been fortunate enough to learn about great areas of support they're doing. But heck, again, you know, it's like the closest alligator to the boat. And I think that's part of the transition thing about encouraging people to start first. You know, you're just, your day-to-day schedule consumes you, but you got to start to build in that time, just a little bit of knowledge each week about learning about what's out there. But this is a program that's available to military families. And we know the challenges out there, right? We know the challenges with, you know, particularly over the past few years with inflationary pressure on military families. There's just an opportunity to save money here. And vision insurance, it sounds like, okay, some glasses and how they look. But, you know, when you talk about your kids, right, one in four school-age kids requires some form of vision care.
Yeah.
That affects the learning, right? You don't want to put and I get this feedback all the time. Military families don't want their kids at educational disadvantage. So I want to make sure that that is taken care of, but money is saved as well. So,
yeah. Oh, man, this is really a great discussion. We have a lot more to talk about, but we need to take another quick commercial break. So, Paul, don't go anywhere. We got a lot more to educate all of our service members about. Now, here's a word from two more of the organizations who make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken, whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Paul Kingsbury, the Director of Uniformed Services Relationships at Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. Remember, this is your show. Tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org, and I'll actually reach back out to you. Paul, I know you've helped a lot of people through various insurance aspects of transition or retirement. What has been the most rewarding and the most rewarding job for you?
Yep, absolutely. So I think the biggest aspect, you know, with any of these things, obviously there's a quote unquote business side to it, right? But to be able to educate families and service members on this to help, smooth the transition and kind of close the gaps in this area is important. And I find that rewarding. But the really cool thing about what we do and what I'm able to do is I'm able to invest back in the military community. So like when you and I first talked, right, you know, these partnerships are important. I think, you know, far too often, you know, service members, you know, we're out in these events and we see all these sponsor logos and stuff, but you got to understand those sponsorships are important, right? There's a win-win. So yes, the sponsor gets brand recognition and they get product recognition. But when we invest in programs and organizations like yours, that money is going to really key areas of need. And at the end of the day, that relationship, when it's right, we get what we want. You guys get investment in the military community. But at the end of the day, the service member and the family member benefits from the products, service, resources, education from that relationship. So it's been really rewarding to, again, retired Navy. So I knew things about the Navy League and Navy focused stuff. But there are so many people out there that I've met, leaders in the military spouse space, organizations doing great advocacy for military families and service members. And the ability to come behind, I can't support them all, but you know, I really try to align in areas where, you know, it makes sense for us to, like health and wellness. And there are definitely areas of need with health and wellness. We're big supporting spouse employment opportunities because, you know, that gets into financial issues, which can affect, you know, military family readiness through food insecurity and other things like that. Family mental health and resilience, military family mental health and resilience. We're looking for opportunities to invest and partner in those areas. And then obviously the opportunity to partner with organizations like yours with education for active duty families and transitioning military members is rewarding. I think that's the piece. I would back up and say the other thing that's cool about this is it keeps me connected to that DoD tribe. And I think that's one thing that goes with transition. It's a thing I tell people at the end, and it's kind of connected to this discussion, is you got to think about how much you want to stay connected. And I think, you know, some people leave, you know, and they're probably disgruntled or they're frustrated with their military service, but I guarantee they're going to get out at some point. There's going to be, they're going to miss the people. They're going to miss the experiences. This keeps me connected to my military tribe in a very meaningful way, but it helps, you know, beyond dental and vision insurance education, it helps me just talk to them about transitioning through the mindset that you need, encouraging them to join organizations that are, whether it's the VFW, the FRA, you know, AUSA, you can stay involved and connected to your military community. I think you're going to find that's something you want to do. So that's the most rewarding thing for me, is that ability to invest in very meaningful ways in the military community.
You know, I like to hear you talk about tribe. I mean, there's so many people come on the show and they talk about find their tribe. I've also heard a lot of people come on the show, they want to move way away from a military, from the military, and then they get out there and they don't know anybody. And then what do they do is they move back to get closer to some kind of military, you know, installation or something. Well, you know, we talked earlier about FAP vision and dental insurance plans. And I got to tell you, it really gets pretty confusing to people. What's the best way for them to research this? And, you know, how can they get in touch with you? Or is there a phone number or a website?
Yeah, absolutely. So before I go into our specific stuff, I want to back it out again. FedVIP is a program, Federal Employee Dental and Vision Insurance Program. But it's administered by Benefeds, so BENEFEDS.com. That's where you'll go on, create an account. They'll validate your DEERS info, right, and validate your portfolio for your family. And then from there, you can go on to the Benefeds site and learn about all the dental insurers and all the vision insurers. They offer tools where you can put them side by side. This just isn't a, well, hey, I like this brand, right? There's some work you got to do. You got to understand networks. You got to think about where you're going to be or where you're going to live, and is the dentist in the network, right? You got to compare plans. Do I want a standard option or a high option, right? Depending on the needs of your family, these are things we're not used to. So that's where I would offer that you can start. If you go into Benefeds, each of the insurers' websites are listed there. But for us, you can get on, I'm going to read these off. So on our dental side, it's bcbsfepdental.com. And the phone number there that's available too is 855-504-2583. And then we have a separate vision website as well. That is bcbsfepvision.com. And the phone number there for more information is 888-555-2583. And if you can't remember the numbers at the end, it's blue. So those are where they can start. That's where they can get information. And we've got, beyond just the information on the insurance and the plans, there's a ton of wellness articles we've got, right? So understanding and trying to help educate, and our role as an educator of dental and vision wellness and health. There's a lot of preventive care that goes with these, and having a good plan and doing those routines and keeping up, right? They can detect things like stroke, heart disease, diabetes early. Dental health is connected to heart health. So there's a lot of reasons, and there's a lot of information on that, including some articles on how to transition your dental and vision insurance after your military service.
Well, Paul, I'm glad we brought you on the show. You're a wealth of knowledge and all this stuff, and it certainly helped a lot of people. And I certainly appreciate what you did. They found the right person to do your job. I thank you for that.
I've had to learn a lot. Believe me, when I first got into it, I'm like, okay. I'm like, oh, I didn't know what I didn't know. So it's been rewarding for me over the past year, 2 years too, to learn more, not just about, you know, FedVIP and benefits, but it makes you get into stuff like VA dental insurance program. Like, okay, people are asking me about this. I don't know much about it, but, you know, having that growth mindset definitely helps.
Well, it's really funny you say you don't know what you don't know. And yeah. I wish we need to do a better job about educating everybody in the military about these kind of benefits and time. But hey, this has been a great discussion. I appreciate it again, you coming on the show. Any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience?
No, I mean, when it gets back to overall transition, again, I can't emphasize enough, start early. Like I mentioned, there's some things you can start now, but it's really a plan. Use the resources and people that are out there, get an early start. And I think you're going to find, I want you to be excited. I know there's a lot of anxiety that goes with military transition. Yeah. I had it, you know what I mean? There's like job uncertainty perhaps, and, you know, other kind of things. There's uncertainty about costs and family, you know, really that comes down to, there's uncertainty about family stability, but you have so many resources out there. A ton of people been there, done that. It will be okay. You're going to make it through. You've served your country, your family served. So now it's time to get excited about the next chapter. And I want you excited because there's so many opportunities out here and there's so many new things that you can do. So thanks again, Jack, for this opportunity to spend some time with you and just share some thoughts.
I appreciate it, Paul. And I got to say again, thanks so much for your sponsorship, for your next mission. I mean, together we can make a difference in the veteran community for our veterans and families. So we appreciate it again, you coming on the show and your support.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, Jack.
Yep. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant of the Army. You've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast with Paul Kingsbury, Director of Uniform Service and Relations at Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say, I hope it's a good review. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit or corporate partners and see all the jobs and services that are available to assist you in your transition from the military. We also added a job board in partnership with Recruit Military that'll allow you to search for a job that's just right for you. Check out our video on our website to learn how to fine-tune your search. You can also create an individual profile by scanning our QR code on the screen or the one on the website. All information collected is confidential and will not be shared with anyone. Please know we want to help you. You can follow me on all my personal social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, or X, as it's now called, on Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. If you like what we're doing on Your Next Mission, click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget, also click on the bell to receive notifications for all of our upcoming video podcasts. Remember, we want to hear from you. Leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Paul for joining us today. And today, you know, I just unbelievable what we don't know about our insurance, what we don't know about our benefits and entitlements. And you need to start getting educated, and like we talked about, at least 2 or 3 or 4 years, or even when you start in the military, about what your entitlements are. It's about your future. You've served this country. You've did everything this country's asked you to do. Learn about your benefits. Learn about your entitlements. And check out FedVIP Vision and Dental. I'm certainly sure they can help you. Again, thanks for watching, and thanks to New Mind Studios, and of course, our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.